You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The US brokered ceasefire was signed almost 4 weeks ago and came fully into effect on the 10th of October in Gaza. Here are some of the key events that have happened since this date. On the 14th of October, there were reports of a wave of public executions by Hamas and rival armed groups. The same day, Israel began to limit aid into Gaza once more due to disputes over the remaining hostages. On the 19th of October, two Israeli soldiers were killed in a Rafah explosion, then Israel retaliated with airstrikes that killed 45 Palestinians. On the 21st of October, US Vice President J.D. Vance said that the ceasefire was in a very good place. On the 29th of October, Israel launched overnight airstrikes into Gaza that killed at least 104 Palestinians. Israel later claimed the attack was to target military infrastructure. Yesterday, Hamas returned the remains of the final three hostages to Israel, and finally yesterday, the former Israeli military advocate general was arrested in Israel for admitting to leaking the August 2024 video of Israeli soldiers committing war crimes. So how valid is this US brokered ceasefire? Well, that's exactly what I discussed with John Minto, co-chair of the Palestine Solidarity Network, Aotearoa.
What did you make of the arrest of the Israeli lawyer, and what does it say about Israel's credibility in the ceasefire and overall conflict?
Well, I think the arrest is an absolute outrage. This was a woman who had the courage to release evidence of the abuse, the sexual abuse of a particular Palestinian detainee. And it's part of there's an enormous amount of evidence of the sexual abuse of Palestinian detainees by Israeli forces. And I should point out, these people are not people who have been charged with any offence. They've not been sentenced. They've not been tried. They are simply people picked up by the Israeli military, and in this case and in many other cases, sexually abused by Israeli soldiers. And the irony here is that she released this evidence to try to protect Israeli soldiers from trial in international sort of jurisdictions. For example, if a country already has good processes to hold soldiers to account, then the International Criminal Court is much less likely to get involved and leave it over to the country to do the trial of these people themselves. But her actions completely backfired, and the right wing in Israel simply demanded that these soldiers be exonerated without trial, and that in fact she be arrested instead. So Israel has shown itself completely unable, unwilling, and in fact deliberately unwilling not to try their own people for war crimes. So it means the International Criminal Court in particular must become the centre of attention to hold Israeli soldiers to account.
Yeah, like you mentioned, many Israeli politicians and pundits have labelled the soldiers as heroes, despite the leaked video showing Israel committing war crimes. What does that say about other countries who choose to support Israel?
Well, it shows to countries like New Zealand and other Western countries in particular, as well as the leadership of countries across the Arab world, that there is still no accountability to Israel for anything which it does. I think that's the most important message. Israel, for 77 years, has avoided any accountability, never, ever been held to account. And it's been pointed out again and again that the only reason we see these war crimes mounting up and the death toll of Palestinians and the mass starvation of Palestinians go ahead is because Israel's never been held to account for any of these actions.
The military advocate general said in her resignation letter that she leaked the video to defuse attacks on military investigators and prosecutors who were working on the case against the soldiers. After hearing about the situation, should a foreign government have stepped in and attempted to provide her safety?
Oh, absolutely. I think there are, within Israel, there are many people who are deeply upset and angry at what their government is doing. They are a small minority, unfortunately, but those people do need protection. I mean, New Zealand, for example, we should welcome here refuseniks, you know, the young Israelis who refuse to serve in their army, which is a genocidal army responsible for the most appalling of war crimes that we've seen this century. I think we need to provide protection for those people. In fact, anyone who is standing up against the Israeli state and facing the wrath of the Israeli state should be given protection by other countries when they seek it.
All right. Moving on, what do you think about the overall credibility of the ceasefire?
Oh, well, it's never been a ceasefire. It's really been a bit of window dressing, really. What it means is that Israel has just reduced the intensity of its attacks on Gaza, but it hasn't ended the war. It's war against the Palestinian people. It hasn't given up its claims to the whole of the Gazan territory for Israeli settlements. They still want to get Palestinians driven out, and they're looking now to use the US plan as a way to maneuver the situation to get those Palestinians, the 2 million Palestinians in Gaza, expelled.
On the 21st of October, after the ceasefire had already been broken numerous times, US Vice President J.D. Vance said the ceasefire was in a very good place and going better than he expected. What's your response to this?
Well, I think the Americans want the ceasefire to hold. Trump wants the ceasefire to hold because it's his plan. And he and the American administration are putting a lot of pressure on Israel to stick to this 20-point plan. So what Israel's doing is it's going about decreasing the intensity of its attacks, and it's really testing the American resolve to implement this 20-point plan, which, of course, Israel wants bits of the plan, but it doesn't want the whole plan at all. As I said, it wants the expulsion of Palestinians from Gaza completely. The problem they've faced is they cannot find another country that is willing to take these people, even with enormous billion-dollar bribes. So, Palestinians, in fact, are going nowhere. They are continuing to resist the Israeli occupation, and I think that is where Palestinians take hope, and that's where people who are supporting the Palestinian struggle take hope as well.
And how should New Zealand respond to the ceasefire, given everything that's happened since it was put in place?
Well, we should be condemning Israel right now for its ongoing attacks, its ongoing killing of Palestinians in Gaza, its ongoing refusal to provide the humanitarian aid, which Israel promised under the ceasefire plan, but it's only delivering one quarter of what it promised. And Israel at the same time is funding these armed gangs within Gaza. It's protecting them in Israeli-controlled areas and using them to conduct assassinations and to try to provoke a civil war within Gaza. So, again, this is one way that Israel is using to destabilize the Palestinian population and try to, you know, say to the world, hey, well, look, you know, these people are always fighting each other. We've just got to get rid of them, find somewhere else for them to go. That's as crude as Israel is approaching this issue. But New Zealand, we should be condemning that, and we should also be condemning what's happening in the West Bank. You know, you've got the olive harvest season underway, and you've got just the horrendous mass attacks on Palestinians harvesting olives on the West Bank. And you know, in the last 2 years, we've seen over 1,000 Palestinians killed in the West Bank, just shot dead, just murdered by the Israeli Defense Force and by Israeli settlers. These are pogroms against the Palestinian people in the occupied West Bank. And New Zealand should be speaking out. But our government, of course, has done what it's always done, refusing to condemn Israel for anything and simply condemning every act of Palestinian resistance.
And that was John Minto, co-chair of the Palestine Solidarity Network Aotearoa, on the validity of the US-brokered ceasefire and the arrest of the former Israeli military advocate general.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.